And you know the word Torah, and it's pretty much on the Torah what I'm going to talk about, but the word Torah really means instruction, is what it means. But yet, when you talk to people, you know, and you talk about the law, you know, you get this response, right? I remember a woman one time saying to me, oh, don't mention that word, that law. She kept putting her hand on that law, you know, because the way your mind thinks when you hear the word law, right, it thinks of restriction, it thinks of rigidness, maybe it thinks of policemen in blue shirts, you know, coming and taking you away. But really, when you think about the Torah as instruction, you know, compared to law, and some of these scriptures we're going to read with the word instruction there, and some of it really should be interpreted as instruction, I think you come up with a whole different meaning on the Torah and the meaning of the Torah and what that means to us. So, starting out, the root word, you know, in Hebrew, I talk about this quite a bit. In Hebrew, every word goes back to a 2- or 3-letter root word. And that's really where all the language comes from. It's why it's such a beautiful language. All Semitic languages, ancient languages, whether it's Aramaic, Phoenician, all of them come the same way. They all go from right to left instead of left to right. Do you know why that is? Because the ancient languages, there was no pens or anything, and everything was inscriptions. So most people are right-handed, so you would be chiseling out. So you'd start from right to left. Once we got pens and writing and all that stuff, then they started going left to right. So you'll notice every ancient language, they go that way. But when you look at the root word of of Hebrew words, they tell a lot what it means. And the root of the Torah is yara. Yara, that's the root of the Torah. And it literally comes from or, which means light. You know, that's the root where it comes from. Or, like menorah, to the light. The word or in Hebrew means light. Or cause to see the light. Also, the Torah comes from, the same root is also the word for more, which means teach, or teacher. And tor, the word tor in Hebrew means specific course or order. So when you put Torah together, literally the full meaning of Torah is to see the light by the proper order of teaching or instructing. You know, that's what it is. To see the light by the proper order of teaching or instruction. So if we start in Deuteronomy 4, and I'm going to read verses 8 through 10. It says, and who is a great nation whose statutes and judgments are as righteous as all the Torah which I set before you today? Or all the instruction which I set before you today. Only be on guard for yourself and keep your soul carefully, that you do not forget the things which your eyes have seen, and that you not depart from your heart all the days of your life. And you shall make them known to your sons and to your sons' sons, the day that you stood before Yahweh your Elohim in Hor. When Yahweh said to me, gather the people to me, and I will make them hear my words, and they may learn to fear me all the days that they live on the earth, that they may teach their sons. So really, when you look at Torah, more than this rigid law, it's all about instructing. And instructing what? Instructing to the light. You know, it's instructing to the light. The Torah is our instruction on life. It's our instruction on how to live. And I always say, when you buy a camera or a DVD player, you know, if you're like me or a computer and you're not very, you know, very much knowing how to use these high, sophisticated, you know, things, technology things. One of the elders was saying in our elders meeting in the Philippines, you know, that some of the elders, they didn't even know what these things were. They thought that the mouse was actually a little animal that was running around. When they hear mouse, they don't know it's a little thing on the computer. So, again, you know, when you have something, you get a DVD or something, you need an instruction putting it together. You just can't take all the wires and stick them in anywhere and figure it's going to work. And that's all the Torah is. The Torah is our instruction for life. It's our instruction for life. It's the same. If you don't follow the instruction from the Garden of Eden, it's not going to work. The same way if you don't follow the instruction when you buy something, or maybe it's something you're assembling together. I know, you know, some men like to buy these things, these tables or these cabinets that have about 1,000 pieces, and it's almost like a puzzle. They like putting it together. Not me. I like to say, can I give you an extra $10 and give it to me, Mary? Or buy the one that's already on display. I'm not one for putting all these together. When I open up a box and I see about 1,000 little screws and nails, I'm like, oh my, what did I buy here? Never going to get this thing together. And it's the same way. Why is the world so bad? Why are there so many wars and sicknesses and disease? Why are there over 30 million abortions a year? Why is the divorce rate at 60%? Because the world is not following the instruction. That's all it is. It's the instruction, you know. And when people say to me, you know, how could there be an Elohim in heaven and he let the Holocaust happen? How could there be an Elohim in heaven and, you know, these poor innocent children die? But don't blame Elohim for that. He didn't cause these things. He made everything perfect. We read in the book of Genesis, at the end of creation, everything was completely perfect. And this instruction book he gave us was to keep things perfect. And if Adam would have continued to take this instruction and go outside of Eden to the other people and bring the instruction to them, and if they followed it, you'd have nothing that you have today. Everything would have stayed perfect, but they didn't. And that's why, just like anything else. You know, I remember when I was a few years back home, one of my little cousins that might have been 4 or 5 years old, he went to my other cousin's house that had a VCR, and he took all this foam rubber and stuck it in the VCR. So they're trying to watch a movie, and they're wondering why this thing is smoking up. And then they found out, you know, it had all this foam rubber inside. You know, it's not going to work. It's not going to work the same way. And it's the same way. Once mankind chose not to follow the instruction, that's the reason why we have all those things today. If we go to Deuteronomy 28, it's exactly what the Father says. Deuteronomy 28 and verse 58. Deuteronomy 28 and verse 58. It says, if you will not take heed to do all the words of this Torah, or all the words of this instruction written in this book, to fear this glorious and fearful name, Yahweh your Elohim, then Yahweh will make your plagues remarkable, and the plagues of your children shall be great, and persistent plagues with evil and long-lasting sicknesses. He shall also bring on you all the diseases of Egypt, of which you were afraid, and they shall cling to you. And every sickness and every plague which was not written in the book of this instruction, Yahweh shall cause them to come on you until you are destroyed. And you shall be left with few adult men, whereas you were as the stars of the heaven for multitude, because you would not obey the voice of Yahweh your Elohim. And it shall be as Yahweh rejoiced over you to do good and to multiply you, so Yahweh shall rejoice over you to destroy you and to lay you waste. And you shall be plucked from the land you are going to possess. And Yahweh shall scatter you among the people, from one end of the earth even to the other. And you shall serve other gods there, wood and stone, which you have not known, nor your fathers. And among these nations you shall find no ease, nor shall the sole of your foot have rest. But Yahweh shall give you there a trembling heart, and failing of eyes, and sorrow of mind. And your life shall be in doubt before you, and you shall fear day and night, and you shall have no assurance of your life. In the morning you shall say, oh, that it were evening. And in the evening you shall say, oh, that it were the morning. For the fear of your heart with which you fear, and for the sight of your eyes from which you see. So, very clearly we see there's consequences to not following the instructions. It's like anything else, you know. Everybody here probably either has a job or had a job at one time. What would happen if you were at your job and you were given instructions on doing something and you just didn't follow the instructions? You'd lose your job. You know, it's the same way here, but this is life, you know. And like I said before, it doesn't matter if you believe it or not. The only thing that matters is if it's true. And Yahweh, it's cause and effect. And I try to tell people that sometimes, that, you know, Yahweh isn't sitting there in the heavens waiting to pounce on people. You know, like, oh, you know, this person did that wrong and now he got sick. It doesn't work that way. It's cause and effect. Yahweh put laws into motion. You know, most of what we call today science, it's really just the laws that Yahweh put in the creation. And again, when you follow those laws, it's going to work. And when you don't follow those laws, there's consequences, automatic consequences. So Yahweh's not up there thinking about punishing you. You're punishing yourself. It's an automatic consequence for breaking his word. And that's the way he put it, because it's just the way it is. If you don't follow the instruction, you're not going to get the things that you want. The Torah was meant to preserve life. That's what the instruction is for there. It's meant to preserve life. Deuteronomy 10. And you know, when you think of it that way, it's surely different than those people saying that law, as if it's something bad for us. And I challenge people all the time, it's in the Great Pulling Away book. Read Genesis to Revelation and tell me one law that's bad for you. Tell me one part of this instruction that's bad for you. It tells you what to eat, what clothes to wear, how to worship Him, how to serve your neighbor, how to stay humble. It gives every single last thing you need in this life to be happy and joyful and fulfilled. And I challenge, like I said, I challenge anybody. Show me one law that Yahweh gave us, one part of this instruction that's bad for us, but you can't find it in there. Deuteronomy 10 and 12 and 13. It says, "And now Israel, what has Yahweh your Elohim asked of you, except to fear Yahweh your Elohim, to walk in all His ways and to love Him and to serve Yahweh your Elohim with all your heart and with all your soul, to keep the commandments of Yahweh and His statutes, which I am commanding you today for your good." For your good. It's the same way when you have little children and you're telling them, whether it's Johnny, don't touch the stove, or maybe when they're a teenager and you're not letting them go to a certain thing. You know, no parent is sitting there saying, let's figure out how to do something to torment our children. It's not the reason they're doing it. They're over there doing these things, and at times it might hurt the child who wants to do something, but they're doing it for their good. For their good. And sometimes we have to learn the hard way, but in the end, hopefully we see that. Ecclesiastes 12:13. I can read that to you. Ecclesiastes 12:13. It says, "Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear the Elohim and keep His commandments, for this applies to every man." You know, in the Hebrew, it's sometimes you really can't even translate it exactly what it means. But it would either mean this applies to every man, or this is what makes mankind complete. Keeping the Torah of Yahweh. That's what completes us. You know, that we're incomplete as a human until we fulfill the laws of the Torah. And again, it applies to everyone. You know, absolutely everyone. And Numbers 15:15, we see that, you know, today in modern Judaism, you know, if you were talking to a religious Jewish person or an Orthodox Jewish person, and you were telling them you kept the Sabbath day, they would tell, no. That's only for Jewish people. You must do some kind of work on Shabbat. I've said to many rabbis, you know, show me scripture and verse. I don't see that. If the Shabbat is a blessing to mankind, then why wouldn't everybody want to keep it? If the Ten Commandments are a blessing to everyone, why would Yahweh only want certain people to be blessed and He wants the rest of the people to be cursed? It makes no sense. But Numbers 15:15 says, "As for the congregation, there shall be one statute, both for you and for the alien that lives with you, a never-ending statute throughout your generations. As you are, so shall the alien be before Yahweh. There shall be one instruction, one law, one Torah, one instruction, and one ordinance, both for you and the alien or the stranger that lives with you." So again, Yahweh's not double-minded. There's one instruction. You know, has anybody ever opened up a package and there's an instruction that says, okay, if you're a lady, put it together this way. If you're a man, put it together this way. You know, I've seen different languages, right? Chinese, English, Russian. I don't see Italian, Irish. You know, it doesn't say that. If you're German, this is your instruction. You know, if you're Italian, put it together this way. Wave your hands first or something. I don't know. It's not the way it is. There's one instruction. There's one instruction, no matter who you are, no matter whether you're male or female, no matter where you come from. There's one instruction. And the Torah is one instruction for all of us. It's the one instruction for all of us, the proper instruction for everybody. If we go to Joshua 1, Joshua the first chapter, starting in verse 2. Joshua 1 and verse 2 says, "My servant Moses is dead. And now rise up, cross over this Jordan, you and all this people, to the land which I am giving to them, to the sons of Israel. Every place on which the sole of your foot shall tread, I have given it to you as I spoke to Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, even to the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and to the great sea toward the setting of the sun, shall be your border. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not fail you, nor will I forsake you. Be strong and brave, for you shall cause this people to inherit the land which I swore to their fathers to give to them. Only be strong and very brave, so that you may take heed to do according to all the Torah, all the instruction which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may act wisely wherever you go. And have you ever done that when you're actually putting something together with instructions? Did you ever jump a couple? You know, when I see like 12 different things, you know, step one, step two, step, sometimes I'll say, let me go to step five. And then all of a sudden it's together and it's upside down. And then you got to take it apart and start again. You can't skip part of that instruction. And that's what he's saying. All the instruction that he gave this to Moses. Don't turn to the right or to the left. This book of the Torah, this book of the instruction, shall not depart out of your mouth, and you shall meditate on it by day and by night, so that you shall be on guard to do according to all that is written in it, for then you will prosper your way, and then you will act wisely. So, again, very clearly, Torah, the basic instruction for life and everything we do. What to eat, what to wear, how to work, how to worship, how to treat each other. And again, you know, what the problem I say many times with modern Christianity is that coming to faith is the end of it. You know, that's the end of it for them. Yeah. You know, say this little prayer, accept Jesus in your heart, you know, and then that's the end of everything. Once saved, always saved, and that's the end. But really, once you come to faith, and once you're immersed in the name of Yeshua, you know, and Yahweh, that's just the first day of the rest of your eternity. That's not the end of it. That's the very beginning. So the Torah doesn't give you that salvation, but it teaches you how to live within the salvation. So you need Torah more than anything. Now, again, you get to the New Testament, the Brit Hadashah, and many people believe the Brit Hadashah did away with the Torah. You know, but again, show me scripture in verse, and we'll go over that a little bit. Matthew 5:17. Out of the Savior's own mouth. Do not think that I came to annul the Torah or the prophets. I did not come to annul, but to fulfill. Truly I say to you, until the heaven and the earth pass away, in no way shall one yod or one stroke pass away from the instruction, from the Torah, until all comes to pass. Therefore, whoever loosens one of these commandments, the least of the commandments, and shall teach men so, he shall be called the worst in the kingdom of heaven. And again, this is one of those scriptures that's a little bit hard to really put into English, because I've heard people say to me, well, like pastors that teach against the Torah, and they say, well, at least they'll be the least in the kingdom. I say, no, that's not what it's saying. What he's talking about is the teaching, not the person. He's saying whoever teaches against the littlest thing of the Torah, that's going to be the worst thing in the kingdom. People are going to look at that as, what kind of evil, wicked, perverted mind would teach against anything from the Torah. But the person will not be there. He's not going to be there and just be doing a less job. He's not there. That is the worst, most despicable thing, is what Yeshua is saying in here in the kingdom, is anyone who would have taught even against the least of the commandments of the Torah. But whoever does and teaches them, this one shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I say to you, if your righteousness shall not exceed that of the scribes and Pharisees, you shall not enter into the kingdom of Yahweh, never. And then he goes on to say what he meant by that, and he actually magnifies the instruction. Because in the first covenant, you know, the first covenant, what happened? There was instruction there, but it was basic instruction for living. Now Yeshua comes in the new covenant, the Brit Hadashah, and he's going to expand on this. So now he's showing that it's not only in the written letter, you know, that the Father looks at, but it's actually in our heart. You know, it's expanded to say it's not only the physical act of what you do that's going to decide whether you're going to be happy or unhappy. It's your mind. It's how you think. You know, and he goes on, verse 21. You have heard that it was said to the ancients, do not commit murder, and whoever commits murder shall be condemned to the judgment. But I say to you that anyone who provokes to anger his brother without cause is condemned to judgment. And anyone who shall say to his brother, I spit on you, is condemned to the assembly. And anyone who should say, you are a coward, is condemned to the Gehenna. So he came to magnify the instruction to say what? That now, you know, and then he goes on to say the same thing with adultery. The Torah said, you shall not commit adultery. I say, if you even think lust in your mind, you've already, the penalty of that sin is already on your account. So he magnifies the Torah to show us what? That every single human being that ever lived, except for him, has broken this Torah and is under the penalty. Now, this is the problem with the Torah. This is the problem with the Torah. Us, our inability to keep it. That's what it says in Hebrews 8. The inability of the people to keep it is the problem. Romans 7, the Torah is holy, just, and good. But Paul says, I am a sinner, wicked, sold under sin. And the problem is, it's just like when you buy something in the store and you open up the instructions. You have all the instructions on how to put it together, right? Has anyone ever seen instructions that say, if it breaks, here's how to fix it? No, there's nothing. When you buy anything new, there's never an instruction there how to fix it. There's only instructions on how to keep it. And it's the same with the Torah. The Torah is instruction on how to keep life. It's basic living for life. But the Torah does not have instructions on when you break it. They don't have instructions on how to fix it once it's broken. And that's why we need a new covenant. We'll get into that in a minute. But let's just look at the Apostle Paul a minute, because the Apostle Paul also, many people say that Paul did away with the Torah. You know, Paul was the one that was telling everyone, you know, eat pork, you know, and do all these things. And I say it's so unlogical. You know, when you come to Israel and you really get to know the Jewish people and the ultra-Orthodox, and you see how they're so rigid and so hard to change the littlest thing of their tradition, there's no way that you can believe that Paul, who's a Pharisee, you know, an Orthodox of Orthodox, is going to come along and be telling people to eat pork. And it's just not in our scripture. So Romans 2, we'll go to a few things here. Actually, no, before we go to Romans 2, let's go to the book of Acts first. Acts 21. I actually have a tape online called Was Paul a Lawbreaker that goes extensively into the subject just of the Apostle Paul. But for today, we're just going to go over one or two scriptures here, just showing that clearly Paul was not a breaker of Torah, but was a supporter of Torah. Acts 21, and starting in verse 17. It says, and we, being in Jerusalem, the brothers joyfully received us. And on the next day, Paul went with us to Jacob, and all the elders came. And having greeted them, he related one by one what things Yahweh had worked among the nations through his ministry. And hearing, they glorified the master and said to him, you see, brother, how many merriments there are of Yehuda that have believed, and all are zealous ones of the instruction. They love the instruction. They love the Torah. And it has been told to them that you teach all the Yehudim that are among the Gentiles to depart from Moses by telling them not to circumcise their children and not to observe the customs of the Torah, the instruction. What then is it? At all events, a multitude will come together, for they will hear that you have come here. Then do this, what we say to you. There are four men who have a vow on themselves. Take them and go and purify yourself with them, and pay the expenses along with them, as they shave their heads, that everyone may know that what is said against thee is false, and that you fulfill and observe the Torah, the instruction. Pretty simple. So we see here, and then if you go down to verse 26, then taking the men on the next day, having been purified with them, Paul went into the sanctuary, declaring the fulfillment of the days of the purification, until the offering should be offered for each one of them. So very clearly, not only did Paul keep the Torah, I mean, even to the point of doing this vow, you know, and fulfilling everything according to the law, according to the instruction, according to that. In Acts 25, 6-8. And remaining among them more than 10 days, this is when Paul is in prison, and he's making his defense. going down to Caesarea on the next day, sitting on the tribunal, he ordered Paul to be brought. And he having arrived, the Yehudim coming down from Jerusalem stood around, also bringing many weighty charges against Paul, which they were not able to prove. You know, it's the same thing. There's many things they accused Yeshua of breaking the Sabbath, of doing this. It was all lies. And the same about Paul. You never see one time in Scripture where they can ever justify any of these things he's being accused of. And then defending himself, this is from Paul's own mouth, Paul said, neither against the Torah, the instruction of the Jews, nor against the sanctuary, you know, the temple, nor against Caesar, have I sinned in anything. So, very clearly, Paul is saying he never broke the Torah, he never taught anyone to break the Torah. Acts 28, two pages over. Acts 28, and verse 23, just one verse. Acts 28, verse 23. And having appointed him a day, again talking about Paul, more came to him in the lodging, to whom he expounded, earnestly testifying the kingdom of Yahweh and persuading them the things concerning Yeshua, both from the Torah, or the instruction of Moses, and the prophets, from morning until evening. So very clear. Paul taught from the Torah, and a lot of people don't understand that what we call the Brit Hadashah, the New Testament, most of these letters were only written between the year 60, or let's say 50 AD, till maybe 90, 95 AD, and then they weren't really circulated as a book. You know, letters were circulated, but they weren't really even circulated as a book till maybe late 2nd century, you know, 3rd century going into that. So, you know, at the time of the Apostle Peter, the Apostle Paul, and the other apostles, they didn't have a Brit Hadashah. What they taught from was the Torah, the instruction. The same instruction that they got before they ever met Yeshua was the same instruction that they were giving the other people. Like we said, the only thing that changed from the Old Covenant to the New was the priesthood, from the shadow of Levi to the reality of Melchizedek, and the agreement about the Torah, the agreement we see. And that's what we're going to get into now. We're going to get into showing why there had to be a new covenant, and what was the holdup with this instruction. Romans 2, Romans 2:11. It says, for there is no respect of persons with Yahweh. For as many as have sinned without the Torah, without the instruction, will also perish without the instruction, the Torah. And as many as sinned within the Torah will be judged through the Torah, or the instruction. For not the hearers of the Torah or the instruction are righteous with Yahweh, but the doers of the Torah or the instruction shall be justified. So very simple. Same way here. You know, if we had a job to do and, you know, we had to put all these banners up and instruction was given out. Okay, so-and-so, you take three, you take three, you take three. You know, it's not enough that everyone says, okay, and then you come back an hour later, nothing's done. You know, it's like the parable that Yeshua said of a man had two sons. One son, he said, go out to the field. The son said, great, he never went. The second one complained, but then in the end went. Who did the will of his father? So it's not the hearers of the instruction. You know, it's not all the religious people in the world that are sitting around and haranguing for hours and hours and hours a week on how many cherubs can sit on the head of a pin that are going to be justified before Yahweh. It's the ones that are living the instruction. It's the ones that are taking the instruction for life and applying it. They're using it. And those are the ones that are justified before Yahweh. Now let's get into a little bit, though, why, though, what the problem is, though, with this instruction. And if we go to Romans 4, Romans 4, I'm going to read 1 through 8 and then verse 13. It says, what then shall we say our father Abraham to have found according to flesh? For if Abraham was justified by works, he had reason to be proud, but not with Yahweh. For what does the scripture say? And Abraham believed Yahweh, and it was counted to him for righteousness. Now to the one working, the reward is not counted according to grace, but according to debt. But to the one not working, but believing on him justifying sinners, his faith is counted for righteousness. Even as David also says of the blessedness of the man to whom Yahweh counts righteousness apart from works. Blessed are those whose sins are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man whom Yahweh will in no way charge sin. Verse 13. For the promise was not through Torah or instruction, law, to Abraham or seed, for him to be the heir of the world, but through a righteousness of faith. So like I say, the instruction, the Torah, is holy, just, and good, and perfect. But again, there's no instruction when it's broken how to fix it. That's what our problem is. And every one of us break it. So that's what I say. For many people that are teaching, there's no new covenant, and they teach this thing, renewed covenant. It is absolutely not true. Just do a word study. There's, I don't remember exactly how many times in the Torah that word for new covenant is there, but only two references out of the scores that are there would mean renew. Not even for the covenant, I just mean in general, that word in all the references. Clearly, it is not a renewed covenant, because there was no salvation in the old covenant. The Torah is perfect, but there's no way to fix it once it's broken. So that's the thing. If you keep the Torah perfect, you've got no problem. Because again, you're going to have a beautiful life, you'll never have sin accounted against you, and everything's going to be absolutely perfect like with Yeshua. But if you are a human being, like every one of us are, and every human being but Yeshua broke the instruction, the old agreement has no way to fix it. And that's why we need the new agreement. Again, I talked about this many times. Adultery, idolatry, blasphemy, and murder. There is only the death penalty. There is no way, even on the Day of Atonement, to have those sins forgiven. Only death. What instruction can we do to have our sins forgiven? And that's my question. So once you sin, what instruction can you do to have your sins forgiven? That's what we have to look at. And what does the Brit Hadashah tell us? Repent and believe. You don't see that in the Old Covenant. You see the hope for that to come. Like I said, we have 300 messianic prophecies about the one coming that we're to believe in. But it wasn't in that agreement. In that agreement, it was, we read it in Deuteronomy 28. If you follow the instruction, you get this blessing. If you break the instruction, you get this curse. The New Covenant is what? Repent and believe, and I'll forgive your sins and remember them no more. Every sin. It doesn't matter what sin it was, even murder, idolatry, adultery, and blasphemy. But let's just look in the instruction for a minute. Go to Leviticus 4. Leviticus 4, verse 13. It says, if all the company of Israel shall sin through ignorance, and the thing has been hidden from the eyes of the assembly, and they do that which is not to be done to any of all the commands of Yahweh, and are guilty. When the sin shall be known, that which they have sinned against it, then the congregation shall bring near a bull, a son of a herd, for a sin offering. And they shall bring it in front of the tabernacle of the congregation. And the elders of the congregation shall lay their hands on the head of the bull before the face of Yahweh, and they shall slaughter the bull before the face of Yahweh. And the priest who is anointed shall bring in some of the blood of the bull to the tabernacle of the congregation. And the priest shall dip his finger in the blood and shall sprinkle seven times before the face of Yahweh at the front of the veil. And he shall put some of the blood on the horns of the altar before the face of Yahweh in the tent of the meeting of the congregation. And he shall pour out all the blood at the base of the altar of burnt offering at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And he shall lift up all its fat from it, and he shall burn it as incense on the altar. And he shall do with the bull as he has done to the bull of the sin offering. So he shall do it. And the priest shall atone for them, and it shall be forgiven them. So very clearly, though, the important part is verse 13. If the company of Israel shall sin through ignorance. So the Torah did have the instruction. There was instruction for incidental sin. You know, things that happen. Part of the Torah says, if somebody has an issue, you know, I have the flu, and I sit on that chair, and then I get up and somebody else sits on that chair, you are unclean. You're unclean until the evening. And then in the evening, you have to go and you have to do a ceremonial washing. But it's incidental. You didn't know it. And that's what the Torah says. So things that are incidental, there was a way to have cleanse. But you'll never see in the Torah that if you willfully sin, you can go and kill a bull or a goat or anything else. And like I said, the sins of murder, blasphemy, idolatry, and adultery. There just is no instruction to have those. And then Yeshua shows us that it all starts in the mind, you know, that anger. Who can honestly raise their hand and say they've never been angry once in their life? You know, and I say, how many times does a murderer have to murder to be a murderer?
Once.
You know, once, right? If I said to you, you know, hey, this person over here, he's a murderer. And he's, no, he only murdered once. That's all it takes. Life sentence, right? Eye for eye, tooth for tooth, life for life. So all it takes is once. So we see the Torah only had instruction for ignorance. What human being can say there's that they've only sinned in ignorance? Of course, not. Every one of us has sinned and falls short of the glory of Yahweh. Romans 3:23. So, forgiveness for ignorance, not for willful sin. There's no instruction for forgiveness, you know, of willful sinning. There's just no instruction. Exodus 21, I'll just read these quickly. They're just short. I just want to show you this. Exodus 21:12, it says, he that strikes a man so he dies, dying shall die. Very simply. You kill somebody else, you die. That's the instruction. Leviticus 20 and verse 10. And if a man commits adultery with a man's wife, who commits adultery with the wife of his neighbor, the adulterer and the adulteress, dying shall die. Again, that's the instruction. The instruction is, you do it, you die. There's no instruction to fix it once it's broken. Leviticus 24 and verse 11. Leviticus 24 and verse 11. And the son of the woman of Israel blasphemed the name of Yahweh and cursed. And they brought him into Moses, and his mother's name was Shelemith, and the daughter of Dibri of the tribe of Dan. And they put him under guard that it might be declared to them at the mouth of Yahweh. And Yahweh spoke to Moses, saying, bring out the reviler to the outside of the camp. And all those who heard shall lay their hands on his head, and all the congregation shall stone him. Now this is coming from Yahweh, not Moses. And you shall speak to the sons of Israel, saying, when any man curses his Elohim, then he shall bear his sin. And he who blasphemes the name of Yahweh surely shall die. Not he who blasphemes the name of the Lord, or not he who blasphemes the name of G-O-D, it doesn't say it. He who blasphemes the name of Yahweh. Third commandment. You shall not take the name of Yahweh in vain. Only Yahweh, that's the only name it says, in vain. And what does that mean in Hebrew? You're not to change that name, you're not to falsify that name, and you're not to make that name common. It's not a title. Yahweh has many titles. He's omnipotent, he's eternal, he's our healer, he's our provider, but he has one personal name in Scripture that he tells us 7,000 times. And clearly here it's death to defile that name. And he who blasphemes the name of Yahweh surely shall die. And the congregation shall certainly cast stones at him, as to the alien, again, to the stranger, so to a native. When he blasphemes the name, he shall be executed. And a man, when he strikes the life from any man, he shall surely be executed. So very clearly, the instruction in the first covenant was what to do when someone breaks the instruction. But there was no instruction on how to fix what's broken. Just how to get rid of the broken pieces. You ever have a glass break? How many people have broken a glass and actually glued it all together? I don't mean a coffee cup, maybe two or three. I'm talking about a glass. There's about 200 pieces there. You don't glue it together. You sweep it up and you throw it out. That's the first covenant. It's telling you how to fix the sin. Get rid of it. Get rid of it. You know, that's what it says. Get the evil away from you. But in the new covenant, there's hope. There's hope that if the person can repent, if they can turn from their way, then, you know, Yahweh will forgive them and he'll remember the sin no more. And we read the scripture the other day. I'll read it again. Very important scripture in the New Testament. Acts 13, 38 and 39. Extremely important. Acts 13, 38 and 39. Then let it be known to you, men, brothers, that through this one, through Yeshua Messiah, remission of sins is announced to you. Now you're seeing how to fix it. How to fix what's broken. And everyone believing in this one, in Yeshua Messiah, is justified from all things which you could not be justified by the Torah or the instruction of Moses. Is there a new covenant? You better believe there is. If there is no new covenant, woe is us. We're in trouble. Because like I said, I challenge anybody in the world to show me how do I fix the brokenness of murder. Show me that. Show me in the Torah, in the instruction of Moses, how if I murdered somebody, how can I be redeemed except death? How except giving my life for him? There's nothing. I can't kill a bull. I can't kill a goat or a sheep. I can't do it. Eye for eye, tooth for tooth, life for life. And like I said, when Yeshua magnified the instruction, he showed us that if you even think the sin, if you've ever gotten angry, you've murdered. So again, but here, this scripture here is showing us that everyone believing into him is justified from all things that you cannot be justified by the instruction of Moses. Very, very important. Yeshua came to pay the penalty for sins that had no instruction for forgiveness and to pay the penalty with his own life. And like I said before, in the first covenant, there was only instruction on how to punish the sins, but now we have instruction on how to remove the penalty. Galatians 3:21-22. It says, then is the Levitical instruction, or the Levitical law, against the promises of Yahweh? Elohim forbid. For if a law or an instruction had been given, which had been able to make alive, indeed, righteousness would have been out of the law. But the scripture locked up all under sin, that the promise by faith of Yeshua Messiah might be given to the ones believing. So we see that the shadow of Levite was there to lead us to a greater priesthood and a greater covenant. Because we know from Hebrews 10, the blood of bulls and goats cannot forgive sin. Why? Because the Torah says, eye for eye, tooth for tooth, life for life. And the life of an animal is not equal with the life of a human being. You can't kill an animal and have that pay the death penalty for a human that was killed. It's not equal. It's not equal value. And that's all eye for eye, tooth for tooth, life for life is. Let the punishment fit the crime. Some people look at that and they think that it's brutal. Ooh, eye for eye, tooth, gouge somebody's eye out. That's not what it's about. It's an idiom. It's a Hebrew idiom, meaning let the punishment fit the crime. Let the punishment fit the crime. And like I said, most of these punishments are death. So the only way we could fit the crime is by us dying or having a new way, a better priesthood, having our high priest come down here, pay the penalty for these sins. And now there's an instruction for us on how to have that penalty removed. Repent, turn from the sin, which means abhorring it, hating it, and accepting that his blood pays the penalty for that. The Torah is instruction for life, but once broken, there's no instruction for having the penalty paid, and that's what the Brit Hadashah is for. The Torah simply tells us, eye for eye, tooth for tooth, punishment must equally fit the crime. By having Messiah pay the penalty for our sins that could not be paid in the old covenant, it does not change the instruction for life. So the fact that the new covenant has a way, a new and living way, to have our, literally, the penalty removed, it doesn't change the instruction for life, though. That's why I say, you see, this is the problem with Christianity. They're looking at the instruction in the wrong way. You know, they're not comparing apples with apples and oranges with oranges. The Torah was never meant to give life. The Torah was meant to keep life. It was never meant to give life. It was meant to keep life. John 1:17, it says, for the Torah, the instruction was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Yeshua Messiah. See, the Torah tells you how to keep life, but it doesn't tell you how to receive life once it's broken. And that's why even the analogy there, you know, what did Moses do? Moses took the people out of Egypt, out of sin. And how did he do it? Going through the waters of the Red Sea, and he brings them to Mount Sinai. The giving of the instruction. The giving of the instruction. But the Torah can only lead you there. It can only lead you to life. What did Paul say in Romans 7? I would not have known sin unless the Torah said. It's a mirror to show me right from wrong. Psalm 119:105, the Torah is a lamp to my feet. It's to convict us that sin is sin. Most people in the world, they don't know what sin is. They have no idea what sin is. And even when they know it, you know, when they say, I'm sorry, that's not repentance. You know, what they're saying is, I'm sorry I got caught. That's really what it is. But there's no change. There's no deepness of hating those things that are against the instruction of Yahweh. So what happened? The Torah, the instruction, can bring you to Mount Sinai. It gives you right from wrong. But Moses couldn't bring them into the promised land. The Torah can bring you to the door, but it can't bring you into the promised land. Who brought them into the promised land? Joshua, Yahshua. And how did he do it? Through the rivers of the Jordan River. So, the Torah will bring you to Mount Sinai. It will bring you to the law. That's its purpose. But then you need Yahshua. You need Joshua, right? To take you through the rivers of the Jordan. Baptism. To get into the promised land. And that's not... That's an analogy Yahweh purposely put there for us, that we understand that. That we keep the Torah in perspective. But once you come into the promised land, do you throw the instruction of life away? Absolutely not. And that's why I say, when you are immersed in the name of Yeshua, it's not the end. It's the first day of eternity. It's the very first day of eternity. Up to that point, all we were vile sinners that didn't even know right from wrong. And now that we know it, not only do we have to do it, it's got to be burned within us. And I can't imagine how any Christian can read Hebrews 8, and in that day I will put my laws on their inward parts. And they say, you see, we don't have to keep it, it's written on our heart. Huh? What does that mean? How can something be written on my heart and I don't keep it? It's absolutely, it doesn't make any sense. You know, you wonder what they're smoking when they say those kind of things. But clearly, the Torah is a lamp to my feet. It gives instruction on how to live, but it doesn't give us instruction on how to fix it when it's broken. Deuteronomy 30. Deuteronomy 30, verse 11. And you know, when you really come to faith, and you really understand this, it brings such a deep appreciation for what Yeshua did for every one of us. Because, you know, once you start looking at the Torah and loving it and realizing how perfect it is and how it only helps people, but then you realize you can't keep it. You can't keep it. Even repentance. It's not you. You don't repent. You may submit your will over to Yahweh to allow Him to give you the gift of repentance. But everything comes from Him. And I'm telling you, I'm sure everyone in this room can testify to this. When you become a believer and you're trying to overcome and you're doing it on your own strength, it will never, ever work. You will go over it over and over and over again, keep making the same mistakes, keep going back to the well, until you stand back and see the salvation of Yahweh and be still. So yes, do we have to submit our will to Him? Absolutely. Do we have to change our life? Do we have to stay away from the things that are causing it? Absolutely. But then there comes a point that you have to realize there's only one way you're ever going to overcome, and that's if He blesses you with the spirit of repentance. It's a gift from Him, and we have to ask from Him. It's not our own strength. If we're trying to overcome on our own strength, I'm telling you, it'll be a churning and over and over and over, and it'll come up very dissatisfied. So, Deuteronomy 30, verse 11. For this command which I am commanding you today, it's not too wonderful for you, nor is it too far off. It is not in the heavens that you should say, who shall go up to the heavens for us, and bring it to us, and cause us to hear it, that we may do it. It is not beyond the sea that you shall say, who shall cross over for us to the region beyond the sea, and take it for us, and cause us to hear it, that we may do it. For the word is very near to you, in your mouth and in your heart, that you may do it. Behold, I have set before you today life and good and death and evil. And that I am commanding you today to love Yahweh your Elohim, to walk in His ways and to keep His commandments and His statutes and His judgments, and you shall live and multiply, and Yahweh your Elohim shall bless you in the land where you are going in to possess it. Verse 19, I will call heaven and earth to witness against you today that I have set before you life and death and blessing and curse. Therefore, choose life that you and your your seed may live. Torah is life. Torah is life. Torah is the instruction to life. You know, it is not going to give you eternal life because we won't broke it. Only by humbling ourselves, admitting we're sinners, repenting of our sins, turning from that, and accepting the blood of our Savior for that forgiveness of sins will give you eternal life. But now that you have eternal life, yes, you must keep the Torah if you want to keep eternal life. It's absolutely a prerequisite to keep eternal life. And like he says here, these things, they're not up in the heavens. They're not across the sea. You know, all the Torah is based on 10 simple words. That's what they're called. The Ten Commandments are called the 10 words, Dibar. And it's pretty simple. You know, like I said, all these great scholars, all these great minds, and they can't count to 10. They can't count to 10, and they're so smart. My uncle used to have a phrase, and he was a real simple guy, really nice guy. And he'd say, you know something? They're so smart, they're stupid. He used to always say, and it's true. Sometimes people are so smart, they're stupid. You know, they want to sit here for days and months and years and just philosophize about all these things. And the end is pretty simple. What don't we understand about thou shalt not lie? What don't we understand about thou shalt not kill? Thou shalt not commit adultery? Thou shalt not steal? What don't we understand about that? You know, it's pretty simple. Some of these things are one sentence. You know, the Ten Commandments, they're not a law book like Congress does. You know, it's not Obamacare where you got 2,300 pages that they tell you, we'll read it after we pass it. It's not the way it works. It's simple. It's so simple. But it's got to be in your heart. You've got to be convicted of it. You've got to believe it. You know, because again, we are going to be the embryo in the kingdom that are going to be teaching this to the people, you know, when that kingdom comes. It's got to be part of us. Same instruction that was in the Garden of Eden, and Yahweh doesn't change. Torah instruction brings life, breaking it brings death. Very simple. I put before you life and death. Everything Yahweh gave us was for our good. In the Garden of Eden, at the end of creation, everything was perfect. It was perfect. And this law was there, all of it. Every last law the Father puts into action is perfect. And mankind destroys it. It's that simple. Now, knowing that, everyone in agreement to that? Everyone believe the Torah is perfect, holy, just? So Isaiah 8:20, I'll read one scripture here. To the Torah and to the testimony, if they do not speak according to this word, it is because there is no light in them. If they do not speak according to the Torah, to the instruction and the testimony, if they do not speak according to this word, it is because there is no light in them. And many times I've had people come up to me and say, oh, you know, listen to this DVD or watch this thing, and I'll say, does the man believe in the Ten Commandments? Well, no, but get thee behind me, Satan. Anybody who does not believe in the Torah has no justification coming up here behind this podium and teaching. None. Absolutely zero. I just read, this is life and death. I put before you life and death, good and evil. And someone's going to come up here and teach against the Torah? I don't care what he's teaching. I've had someone say to me one time, they said, but you know something? He doesn't always talk against the Torah. So what? I mean, the point is his theology, his mindset, even if every sermon isn't saying the Torah is bad, whatever he is teaching you, he's taking you down this snake path where Satan is at the end of it. And I don't know about you, but I don't want to hear it. You know, the first thing that Yeshua, when the disciples said, Master, tell us what to look for, please. Tell us what to look for in the end time, because it's going to be the worst time ever. And the first thing he said was, deception. Deception. And you know something? I know this is life and death. I know it. And I don't want to take that chance, because I know I don't have an easy pass into that kingdom. And I know we work out our salvation with fear and trembling. If the righteous barely make it, what happens to the sinner and the ungodly? And I do. I fear for my salvation every day. I have the fear of Yahweh. And I know there's no guarantee. There is no guarantee. Until the day you die, you don't know. You have to continue on that route. What does it say in Ezekiel 18? If the person is following the Torah his whole life, but at the end of his life he turns away from it, that person ain't going to be in the kingdom. But a person that was a sinner his own life, and at the end he turned and repented? You know, respect, it's where you end up, not where you start. And I've seen it. I mean, through the years, it's the saddest thing in the world to me. People that were grounded, people that were solid, sometimes even in ministry, and they turn away. They go back to the world, they're back to paganism, they're back to all these things. And it's not, well, we just got to... Oh, they're losing their salvation. Many of them will go to the lake of fire. We are in the most serious time you can ever imagine. How on earth can we give the opportunity to Satan to want to give our ear to a teacher who doesn't believe in the Torah? It shakes me. My hand shakes when I see. Because you know what I say? If this guy's a teacher, he must know something. But if he could twist things to actually make people believe that the Torah doesn't have to be kept, man, I don't want to hear it. I really don't care what you have to say. I don't want to hear it. Because I know that this is life and this is death. And I know that Yahweh is perfect. He doesn't change. And his Torah is perfect. And I know I'm a man. And I know I can be deceived. And I don't want to give that opportunity. And we really have to think about that. Not to give a platform to anybody who does not believe in the Torah with all his heart, his mind, his soul, and his strength. 1 John 3:4. Because you know something? If the penalty of sin is death, right? Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of Yahweh is eternal life. Ezekiel 18:4, the soul that sins, it shall die. So does anybody in the Old Covenant, we read it here, did anybody have a doubt that if they were going to murder, that they were going to blaspheme, or they were going to do these things, that they were going to die? There was no doubt, I mean, because it wasn't even a judicial system that was going to take years and years and years and appeals. You know, try to appeal when you're getting rocks pelted at you. It was quick. And what did Yahweh say? That they may learn to fear me. You know, what does it say in Ecclesiastes? When punishment is deferred to a wicked act, it puts in the hearts and the souls of men to do wickedness continually. You know, sometimes I think we need to have more quick judgment and have more of the fear of Yahweh. Because, sad to say, even in the congregation, we just don't have that fear of Yahweh that we should have. To fear to go against Him and to fear to break that. But 1 John 3:4, this is now the new covenant, the Brit Hadashah. It says, everyone practicing sin also practices lawlessness. And sin is the breaking of the instruction or the Torah. Very simple. So in the New Covenant, and this is one of the last books written. This is probably written in 95 AD. Sin is still the breaking of the instruction. And like I said, Romans 6:23, sin still brings death. So that does not change from the Old Covenant to the New Covenant. Sin is still sin and death is still death. It's the same thing. The only difference is, like I said, we have the ability to repent and have these sins forgiven. But, if we mock that spirit of grace, let's read what happens. Hebrews 10, is something we need to fear. Because you know something? Yahweh is merciful. And there's times that people can be caught up with all kinds of sins, addictions, all kinds of things. And if they're really struggling and they're fighting against sin, you get to the point of shedding blood, Yahweh works with us. But when we start to mock the spirit of grace, and we start to get laxed in sin, look what he says. Hebrews 10 and verse 26. For if we are willfully sinning after receiving the full knowledge of the truth, there remains no more sacrifice concerning sins. You're basically kicked out of the new covenant. But he is ready for the fearful judgment and zealous fire, being about to consume the adversary. What fire is that? That's the lake of fire. For if he who transgressed the instruction of Moses died without mercies at the mouth of two or three witnesses, we just read a few scriptures about this, how much worse punishment do you think will be brought worthy to receive the one trampling the Son of Yahweh and having counted the blood of the covenant as common in which he was sanctified and having insulted the Spirit of grace? For we know him who said, vengeance belongs to me, I will repay, says Yahweh. And again, Yahweh will judge the people. It's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living Elohim. And you better believe it is. I had a man over my house this summer. Maybe it was even before the summer. But he was fixing an air conditioning unit. And he was a Jewish man. And he asked me, he said, are you a Christian? And I said, no, I'm not a Christian. And I said, but I do believe Yeshua is the Messiah. You know, I said, I'm a Messianic. And Messianic Israel, and I told him. And he said, yeah, you know, he said that he was against, the question he asked me, he said, do you believe that the Jews killed Yeshua? That was the question he asked me. And I said, no. I said, I killed Yeshua. And you killed him, and everybody else. I said, everyone that has ever committed a sin has killed Yeshua. And that's got to be a reality, Jess. That can't just be a phrase, because it's true. The Jewish people didn't kill Yeshua. The Romans didn't kill Yeshua. It's ridiculous that people think this way. He says, I put down my life and I lift it up, and no man takes it from me. He says, the Lamb of God slain from the foundation of the world. This wasn't a random act, you know, that Judas sells him out and the Pharisees. This is nonsense. He came at the appointed time. He came for a job. When Peter pulls the sword in the Garden of Gethsemane, what does he say? I can call 12 legions of angels down right now. But how can the scripture be fulfilled? Praise Yahweh that Yeshua willingly gave up his life so that we don't have to be in bondage, not of Yahweh's instruction, not of his Torah, in bondage of sin, in bondage of Satan's system. That's the bondage. And that's how perverted. I can't imagine. I've met some of the nicest, most wonderful people in the world, Christian people, that will help, they'll serve, they'll give money, they'll do everything. And yet they hate Yahweh's instruction. Yahweh's instruction, and I fear for them. I fear for them because I know if I turn back to my old ways of life, I look at that scripture here and I just read in Hebrew, and that's scary. Do any one of us want to put Yeshua back on that tree of crucifixion? No. It says he did one sacrifice. That's it. You get one chance. There is no second chance. I hate to tell you that. I know people that came from Church of God background, they think there's a second chance for people. There is no second chance. It's accounted to all people once to die, and then the judgment. 2 Corinthians 5:20. Every one of us will stand before the judgment seat of Messiah, and we will give account of the things done in the flesh, good or evil. Your chance is now, while there's breath coming out of your mouth. That's your chance. Your chance is going until the day you die. Once you are gone, that's it. There is no second chance for anybody. Although, Yahweh in his mercy, like I read here, in Hebrews 26, if we willfully sin after the full knowledge of the truth, Yahweh is merciful and he's honest and a fair broker. So he will not judge a college graduate the same way he would judge a third grader. So many people in the world that don't know his instruction, they will not have the same judgment as us. His word clearly says, to more is given, more is required. To much is given, much is expected. So everyone will not be graded on the same scale because many people in the world, they don't know any better. But every person will be judged according to what they do in this life, according to Yahweh's judgment. And only he knows how much they knew and didn't. That's why the Bible tells us we are not to condemn anybody because we don't know how much he opened their mind. We don't know reasons why they did it. All that will be done for him on the last day. But mark my words, on that last day, every human being who ever lived will be judged. And they're going to be judged by what? The words of this book. Revelation 20. And the books were open. The word is Biblos. That's where the word Bible comes from. The books of the Bible are opened and every man is judged out of the instruction. And that's why Romans 3 says, to the Gentile who keeps the Torah without knowing the Torah. It's become an instruction to himself. And when will he be rewarded? The day Yeshua Messiah judges the hearts and souls of men. There's people out there today, and I say my dad is one of these people. He's never read the Bible, and yet he doesn't lie, he doesn't steal, he doesn't commit adultery. He doesn't even know that these things are in there. And he just does them because it's part of him. And he's not a first fruit. He won't be there in the millennium. But I believe in the white throne judgment, when he's resurrected, he will be rewarded because he didn't even know these things and he did it. So I'm not saying there's no hope for the people that aren't believers. But what I'm saying is, in the end, we are all going to be judged by the instruction. It's pretty simple. And for us who know the instruction, for us who study it every day, there's a greater accountability. An accountability to teach others, but an accountability to keep it. And we have to make sure we're not veering away from this instruction. Isaiah 24. Because we're living in a time, remember, like the days of Lot, like the days of Noah, where people are not following the instruction today. And people are mocking and scoffing the instruction. Matter of fact, not only aren't they following it, they want to kill you. You know, it says that they will come, that they'll kill you for my name's sake. And this is what it's coming to. I was saying, I'm amazed. You look at, in America, and all these liberal people that are atheists, they believe nothing. And if a Christian would so much as sneeze the wrong way, they want to always attack and get rid of the Ten Commandments, get rid of this, and attack them for everything. But yet, on the other end, if anything is even remotely, even just one comment is made about Islam, all these atheists are standing up, they're offended. I'm offended that you would say that, and they're not Muslims. What is going on here? It's a spiritual war that's going on that started a while ago, but we're coming to a conclusion with it. That if people are not following the instruction, they're being taken over by Satan. He says in the end, because you love not the truth, I will give you a spirit of delusion. And believe me when I say, when the anti-Messiah comes, what does it say? And all the earth worshipped him. We're living in that time. We're going to see it. There's going to be a small body of people that are going to fight against it. But the vast majority of the earth are not only going to believe this anti-Messiah, they are going to worship him. And they're going to want to kill us. They're not going to, but they're going to be angry at this instruction. And they're going to wave their fist to Yahweh and say, no way. So it's a serious thing. Isaiah 24, and why is the day of Yahweh coming? Look what he says. Verse 3, the earth shall completely be empty and utterly stripped, for Yahweh has spoken his word. The earth mourns and languishes. The earth droops and languishes. The proud people of the earth droop, and the earth is profaned under those living in it. Doesn't sound like a good time, right? Right? But why is that? Listen why it is. Because they transgress the Torah, they transgress the instruction, they violate a statute, and they break the everlasting covenant. On account of this, a curse has devoured the earth, and they who live in it are held guilty. For this, those living in the earth are consumed, and few men are left. So, like I said, it's cause and effect. It's not like the Father's up there thinking about it, him and Yeshua planning out how to get people. It's cause and effect. But when you have the whole earth gets wicked and vile and is breaking the instruction, man, the consequence is going to be worse. It's going to be way, way worse, and that's what we're here. Last scripture I'm going to go over here is in Jeremiah 7. Jeremiah 7. And this is what he says about the generation we're living in. I'm going to start in verse 23. And then I'll drop down to verse 26. He says, but I commanded them this thing, saying, obey my voice, and I will be your Elohim. And you will be my people. Also walk in all the ways that I have commanded you, so that it may be well with you. The instruction, right? Pretty easy. But look at what the response is, verse 26. Yet they did not listen to me, nor bow their ear, but they stiffened their neck. They did more evil than their fathers. And you shall speak all these words to them, but they will not listen to you. In the end time, are we going out as a witness to the world, thinking that we're going to convert the world? No way, that's not what the Bible says. We're going out as a witness against their wickedness and their deeds. Will some get converted? Praise Yahweh, yes. Some will come to faith. But the vast majority will not. They will not. You're not going to have stadiums of 20,000 believers in the end time. When I see that, I say, man, they're not preaching anything. They certainly ain't preaching repentance if you've got 20,000 people in the stadium. They're tickling the ears. They're preaching easy things to collect money off people. It's that simple. That's what the end time tells us. They did more evil than their fathers. And you shall speak all these words to them, but they will not listen to you. And you will call to them, but they will not answer you. But you shall say to them, this is the nation that does not obey the voice of Yahweh their Elohim, nor receive instruction. Truth has perished, and it is cut off from their mouth. Cut off your crown and throw it away, and lift up a dirge on the heights. For Yahweh has rejected and forsaken the generation of his wrath. Wow. I read that scripture in Genesis 6, where Yahweh says, it repented me that I made man on the earth. And it hits me every time, because it's not man, it's human beings. And I'm a human being. And it hits to the soul of me when I read that, because I say to myself, I know I'm no better than those people back then. You know? And if he said that then, how much more now? How much more now? But you know something? Yeshua said, fear not, little flock, it's your Father's will to give you the kingdom. And unless it was for the remnant of Yahweh, there'd be nobody left. There'd be nobody left. So Yahweh loves us. He's blessed us. And again, it's not because of anything we've done. It's because of our weakness. We were weak enough that he was able to call us, like it says in 1 Corinthians 1:26. But we have to humble ourselves and just every day of our life thank him that we have ears to hear and eyes to see, and we can follow his instruction. And like I said, we're hitting into such a horrible time coming in the world where most people in this world that are alive today will not be alive at the return of Yeshua. Like it says, very, very few people are left when his kingdom comes to this earth. And why is that? Because they refused instruction. You know, and we have to ask ourselves, you know, even though we may be keeping the Sabbath, and even though we may believe in the Torah, how well do we take instruction? In everything. You know, in everything. You know, there's some people here that were military people. And you know in the military what happens when you don't follow instruction. You know, you're either in the brink, or you get kicked out, one or the other. But how well do we follow instruction? From our husbands, you know, for children, with their parents, at work, when we work at places, you know, our leaders in the congregation. You know, how well do we take instruction? Because sometimes instruction is correction too. How well do we take it? How many scriptures are there saying in Proverbs about the wise man taking instruction and the fool doesn't want to hear it? We can't kid ourselves. The time we're living in, there is a spirit of pride that just circumferences the earth. And we don't want it to come into our life. We want to be people of Yahweh. We want to be humble. We want to be correctable. And most of all, we want to take instruction. So Yahweh bless you and keep you. May he cause his face to shine on you. May his countenance lift you up. And may his shalom be upon you. Thank you. Thank you.